2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. These are God's words. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now, some have called the teaching of verse 13 and verses 13 and 14 together the Reformed understanding of salvation. But the way that it got to be called that is, of course, it is the biblical understanding of salvation over against the Roman Catholic, the papist idea of salvation happening by this great big stored up bank of merit, of earned righteousness before God, and the idea that we earn righteousness before God, in part through faith. They think believing in Jesus is important, but you also have to add your own works, and we don't do good enough, and so we can make withdrawals on this treasury of merit, and that can be done by works of penance or works of supererogation, extra works. And those not only withdraw from the treasury, but put back into the treasury for other people to withdraw from later. It's all very complicated math and spiritual finance. And then, of course, indulgences, which you could buy from the Pope in order to finance things, which at the time of the Reformation was, they were financing the building of a new cathedral called St. Peter's in Rome. And offering a plenary indulgence, which is a full indulgence. You could buy off all the rest of what you needed in order to get into heaven and eliminate purgatory. And you could even especially do it for dear departed mom and dad. And how selfish would you be to actually spend your money on food when mom is burning in purgatory and you could buy her out? And of course, that horrible spiritual abuse led to a recovery, a reforming of the doctrine of salvation, among other things, and worship, and you know, the papists had messed up a lot, but a reforming of the doctrine of salvation according to Scripture. And so that's where the word reformed comes from, and so it happened in the Reformation. And here is one of the great statements of the fact that it is God alone who saves entirely, even though there are mechanisms through which he saves and that give us the privilege of participation to some extent, not really in being justified, but in the work of God through which he calls others. And we'll see that as we go through the passage. So first he says, we are bound, we are obligated, we are indebted, that word means, to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. So we know immediately who gets the credit. He doesn't thank them for believing in the Lord Jesus, although they did, and that was necessary, as we'll see in a moment. He thanks God for their being saved. He thanks God for their believing. God is the one who gave Jesus to die for them, and God is the one who gave faith for them to believe in the Jesus who died for them. And that's good news for you. If you are trying to believe in Jesus and you find it hard, that's not surprising, because it's actually impossible apart from the grace of God. And you can ask him to give you faith. He is not willing that any should perish. And he answers the prayer for faith. He doesn't tell you just to ask for faith. He just tells you to believe. And so you don't ask for faith and then wait to see if he answers. You ask for faith and you reach with your heart to rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find that his word is what gives the ability to believe, even like we saw in the healing of Aeneas. The command to rise gave strength to his legs, as the healing of the paralytic had also as had also happened in the healing of the paralytic in Jesus' earthly ministry. And then also when Peter said, Tabitha kumi, the Lord gave the power for her to live from the command to rise from her bed, just as when Jesus had said, Talitha kumi, to Jairus' daughter during his earthly ministry. So also, when he commands you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, the command itself has the power of the Lord in it. And so you respond, and you can ask him for faith to give you by his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. And so he says, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren. Salvation is something that you continue to enjoy, and until the last day in which we receive our resurrected, glorified bodies, salvation is something in which we will be increasing in always. And so you don't just thank God once for saving you or for saving someone else. It's one of the wonderful things when you pray for a believer, is every time you pray for that believer, you can thank God for saving them. So he says, we are bound, we are obligated, indebted to God, to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. And that is the origin of our salvation, the love of God. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined. Not those whom he cheated to know about, but those whom he loved, whom he knew personally ahead of time, even before they existed. He was intending relationship with them. It's foreknowledge of the person themselves. So, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Now, how do you come to salvation? Well, through sanctification. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And yet, how does this holiness happen? Sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel. So the same believing in Christ, the same resting in Christ that the gospel called you to, in which you were justified, the moment you believed in Jesus, you are as right with God as any of the saints are in heaven now, as you ever will be many ages hence, when you have been perfected in glory in a new heavens and a new earth. But it's the same faith that the Holy Spirit uses in your sanctification to make you grow in holiness. Because you need to be holy in order to come into blessing. In order for heaven to be a happy place for you, you must be a holy person in heaven. An unholy person, someone who is fleshly, will not enjoy the great holiness and glory of God. It will be a terror to them. And even if it wasn't a terror, it wouldn't be an enjoyment to them. So we must have holiness, and the Holy Spirit uses the same faith in Christ to produce that holiness in us. So, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel. And so there's that necessary mechanism. Even though God is the one who determines who will be saved in this choosing love and this electing love, it always happens by coming to faith in Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know if I'm elect. Well, you are not the one who chooses, and so it's not surprising that you don't know if you're elect yet, until you come to believe, and then you know you are, because how could you come to believe only if God, the Spirit, gave you that faith? So there's that necessary mechanism. But the whole of salvation is unto the credit of God. And so we're obligated to give thanks. The Spirit is the one who applies it to us. The Son is the one who accomplished it. And that's why it is unto, or obtains, the glory of Jesus Christ. But There is a privilege of participation, even though the mechanism by which we are saved is by giving up on anything we do and trusting only in Jesus and what he does. The Lord gives us to participate in calling others. Whenever you tell someone that Jesus, God the Son, who should, who by every right would destroy us all in his righteous anger and wrath, that he instead first became a man, came into the world, not to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved, that he lived an obedient life in order to die under the wrath of God as if he had committed the sins of every single person for whom he had died. That Jesus has done this. When you tell someone about who Jesus is and what he has done, you may be given the privilege of participation. And this is a big part of Paul's thanksgiving for them. He would be thankful already if God had just saved them. But he's even more thankful because God gave him the honor of participating in the work by which God called them to salvation. And so verse 14, to which he called you by our gospel. So he has the privilege of participation, but the purpose is not for his honor. It's for Jesus' honor. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now thinking about all that you know of what the Holy Spirit carried Paul along to write, and thinking about all that you know of as a Christian, and the more the Lord grows you, what you want more. What do you want more the more that he grows you? Your praise or Christ's praise? Christ's praise, of course. So when he says, for the obtaining of not our glory, but for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's increasing the thanksgiving, not decreasing the thanksgiving. But they had the privilege of being the servants who got, whom God used to call by telling the good, call the Thessalonians to himself, by telling them the good news of salvation. And so they had not just the privilege of participation, but also this purpose of bringing praise to the Lord Jesus and not to themselves by their participation. And so the big question for us is, do we feel obligated to give thanks to God for our own salvation, for others' salvation, especially when he has given us the privilege of participating in their coming to faith? And is our great pleasure not that honor would come to us, but that through whatever participation God has given us, that honor would come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise God. That's the point of the Reformed doctrine of salvation, forming back according to the Bible instead of the lies of the papist church. The point, ultimately, of the Reformed doctrine of salvation, the Bible doctrine of salvation, is that Jesus Christ and no mere man, but only Jesus, would get all of the glory in saving. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage that you have given us today, through which to worship you. We pray that you would fill our hearts with thanksgiving, first for your saving us, and I pray, O Lord, for any of my children, if they do not yet believe, that you would give them faith, even as they hear and have heard again of who Christ is and what he has done, that you would grant unto us all to trust in him, to rest in him. And for us who have been justified for a long time, Lord, yet we still need so much sanctifying. And so we pray that you would continue to increase our trusting in Jesus and our resting in Jesus, through which you work in us his life and his holiness, so that we may one day be fit for heaven. So we pray that you keep doing this work in us, and particularly for the part of the work in which you make us thankful, and in which you make us worshipful, and in which you make us count it a great honor to be used in one another's lives in the church, and especially in that part of the church that you have given us in our own household, that we would be used by you in one another's lives. Grant it, O God, We ask unto the glory of Jesus. In his name we ask it. Amen.